Flying Cool Tech 185, October 19th, 05. Hey y'all, how are you? I'm Larry Skutkan, your host for this edition of Flying Cool Tech. Hope you'll join me for the walk home while we talk about a few things. Let's see, let me go ahead and get shut down here. Some mail coming in on the way out. You ready, little buddy? Wanted to talk to you primarily about what we found out on the Olympus today. You guys have a great evening. I'm going to call this podcast Mystery Solved. And you'll notice this should be a pretty good quality recording. We are using the Olympus DS2, not the WS200. And I want to tell you about what's going on with these things. And it's a crying shame. It's a shame. Let's go right, little buddy. There you go. We're going to cut through the basement. Through the bowels of APH. Still got construction going on upstairs. Machinery whining there. Good doggy.
Hello, Larry.
Well, hi, Alice. How are you?
Okay.
Like a giant vacuum cleaner. Good boy, little buddy. I'm back upstairs now. And out the door. Gorgeous out here. Simply gorgeous. Let's go right. 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 There you go. Right. Good boy. Y'all have a good evening. Stay left. Kind of windy. Walking along the driveway. Jake does a pretty good job of staying on the left side, doesn't it? Or even the right side when we're coming in the morning. So before I get to the sad story of the WS series. I forgot to tell you this morning, the very first podcast screw up I did. Boy, it was a biggie. It rivaled the one where I turned down the output on the mixer. Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Well, to give you a little background, before we started, I had been using my earbuds, and I always keep the book port clipped to my, the V part neck of your shirt over on the left side, and I always have the earbuds wrapped around my neck and then tucked down into my shirt. Well, I had been using the earbuds to do something, and I had them unplugged out of the book port, but they were still around my neck and the plug was hanging loose. So I got out the iRiver to do the podcast with Rob. And instead of plugging the microphone jack, into the jack for the microphone, I plugged the earphone jack into the microphone jack. The earphone jack into the plug for the microphone. So we recorded this entire thing through these earbuds that were dangling around my neck. And I knew as soon as I stopped the recording and hit play, it was really faint. I thought, oh no, what happened? And I unplugged the jack before I verified it, but that's exactly what happened. So, I mean, that was two my fault screw-ups and two something with the microphones. I still don't know what's going on with those because I just tested them this morning walking in and they were fine. They recorded on both channels. I mean, right now, in fact, you should hear traffic on my right. There's one coming from back to front, you can probably tell. And you should also hear some sounds on my left. Probably Jake's toenails tapping a little bit. Man, I gotta tell you guys, I really enjoyed Jeff Armstrong's career cast. It was a lot of hard things to talk about in that. And, you know, I grew up in I think I'm a little older than him. But I think See, one thing you should notice about this DS2, too, is that we should be getting a pretty good high-quality recording without any of the clipping that we experienced this morning. So sometimes when you got these real low rumbles from a bus or a truck that went by, especially the echo off the building, it would clip a little bit. That shouldn't happen today. Yeah, we should be getting that richer, full-bodied, sounds like coffee I'm talking about, full-bodied sound. And I'm going to tell you about that in just a moment. But let me finish my thought about when I was growing up. We lived in we lived on base for a while, and we lived in Germany. My dad was in the Air Force, of course. And I don't know. I guess we lucked out from a lot of racial issues.
Good boy.
When I was younger, you know, when you're in the Air Force, or an Air Force family, you're really, there never really, at least to my memory, was any issue with any races. I mean, maybe coming from a black person's perspective, that might not be the same, you know, the same perception. But I never had any problem at all with kids that I went to school with, whether they were Hispanic or Afro-American or whatever. And, you know, I think that probably was a bit of an issue with, you know, one of the benefits of being a military family. You know, we weren't really segregated in the military like a lot of the other country was, or maybe as segregated. Well, until 1970, my dad got stationed in Thailand. And remember, this was during the Vietnam War. So there was an air base in, I believe it was Ubon. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it or not. Ubon or Ubon. So the year he was stationed there, we moved to where my mom's from, in Ville Platte, Louisiana. And this so happened that this was the first year of integration in the schools there. Well, a lot of the people in Ville Platte, even if they couldn't afford it, were sending their kids to, religious school, an academy, they'd call it. So anything to keep from integrating their kids. Well, my mom and dad really didn't see any issue with sending us to an integrated school, since we had really been going to integrated schools all along. Good boy. All right, let's stop and let Jake have a bathroom break. Jake, have a break. And if I remember right, there maybe was one busload. There had to be a lot of white kids, and we all were going to what had been the black school in town, in Ville Platte there. James Stevens Junior High, I'll never forget it. It was a nice school, actually, fairly new one. But in most of the classes I was in, there probably were two or three white kids in there. And, you know, again, I was only in, I want to say, seventh grade, maybe. But there really weren't any issues. There weren't the racial riots like Jeff was talking about, and there were no kids getting beaten up every day. I mean, I remember I had one little problem in school. I think it was a issue where some kid was just trying to prove himself, you know. And we pretty much put an end to, we got an understanding, let's put it that way. But again, I wasn't a little kid either, huh? I'm a big guy now. I'm 6'4", 260, and not overweight either. Of course, back then I was tall and pretty skinny. but I guess what I'm trying to say is I wasn't a little bitty kid. So my sisters and I really, none of us had any problems at all. But it was, boy, it was such a turbulent time. And, you know, I know a lot of people who are blind or visually impaired compare the issues that we have with society with those of the racial issues in the 50s and 60s, and I'm not sure that's exactly a very fair comparison. Sure, we've got issues, but a lot of ours are more of an education type issue. And I think part of that's what the racial deal was too. But I don't think we've got near the hurdles to overcome than the hurdles that other races had to deal with. And I'm sure are still dealing with. Not to the degree, obviously, that they had to back in the 60s, but there's still prejudice. I mean, we all know that. I guess that's... just wanted to make a little comment about that, but the really disturbing parts of that story that Jeff was telling us about in his career cast and his life cast were really more the issues with the nighttime staff at the school there, and that is, hopefully none of that goes on anymore. I mean, what can you say about that? Well, on to a lighter subject. Jake. He's a good doggy. And people get their ACs back on. Yeah. Shelly is off this evening, so see if we can go do something. Liz has been going to class in the evenings. I think she's having a midlife crisis, wanting to change careers. So Shelly and Mars and I will probably go eat somewhere. I want to do a sound seeing tour of a street a couple of blocks from where we live that really goes out on Halloween for the decorations. I don't know if I mentioned this before or not. A little street called Hillcrest. It's only a couple blocks long, but people from all over Louisville go through there and check it out. And it's definitely worth going to. So we'll see. I don't know if we're going to do that this evening or not, but see if we can get Shelly or maybe Liz, if we go on another night, to give us some good descriptions of that. I always enjoy that. All right, let's talk about digital recorders once again. Man, I see why people are confused over this stuff. If you'll remember, a couple of weeks ago now, I was walking home this way and recording on the newly acquired Olympus WS200S and thinking, wow, this is the dream machine for this kind of work. The only thing I thought the only thing I didn't like was the controls were a little bit harder to use than on the DS2. And I really would have preferred that it would record directly into MP3, but I live with WMA. But if you will remember, on that show, I kept wondering, how is it that with only twice the memory, it has 128 megabytes, DS2 has 64. Why is it that we're getting 4 hours at high quality instead of just 2? Because on the DS2, you get 1 hour on its highest quality setting. Well, I should have pursued that just a tad bit more.
This one is 5.3.
Okay. What's that?
It was double red.
Oh, was it? Okay. Boy, isn't that gorgeous out? So, on the DS2 we were getting 1 hour at the highest quality setting. I kept wondering, how is it we're getting 4 on the WS200 when it only has twice the memory? Well, I kind of swept it under the rug and didn't really think about it too much. And then I started noticing that the quality of the recordings just wasn't up to par. In fact, remember this morning I was commenting, what is going on here? I didn't notice this at first. And I didn't correlate the fact that this quality drop came with the WS200S. And I knew it was recording in stereo. Well, what I didn't realize was that the maximum kbps on high quality was reduced from 128 on the DS2 to 64 on the WS200S. So we kind of, Rob discovered that this morning. He was kind of looking at them. And I should have looked at that. I didn't even think about it. I just assumed that they were both going to be, you know, why would they go for a lower quality? Well, the sad, sad news is the new WS320M, which is the one I've really been drooling over since it has a gigabyte of RAM and also plays MP3s, it doesn't go any higher. It also stops at 64. Now, the recordings are okay. It's just like what I was saying this morning. Hey there. You don't get that, it doesn't seem like as full or as dynamic. It just seems kind of flat. So, I'm probably not even going to get a WS320M. Kind of looked around on the Olympus site today, and there is a 320, a 310, and a 300. And the difference is that the 320 has a gig of RAM. The 310 has 512, and the 300 has 256, which is still double what the 200 has, but I really am more interested in that higher quality setting. So that is, it's a shame. I don't understand that, because man, if you could see the design of this recorder, it's small, and I love this feature of pulling it apart. And I'm talking about the WS200S now. And the 320M is going to be the same way. You pull it apart, so essentially what you end up with is the battery and a little bit of case in one hand, and then in your other hand are the controls, and then an exposed USB port that you can plug directly into your computer. I mean, it's that small. So I mean, it's not a lot bigger than what you would see on, say, maybe like a Bluetooth radio or a wireless radio that would plug into your USB port. I mean, it really is nearly that small. In fact, I usually carry an extra flash card in my pocket in the... You know, I can see why they didn't use flash cards on this device, because... Ooh, tough dogs. The flash card is about as wide as the whole recorder. That's with the both parts of the case. So I am just really, really disappointed. I mean, I won't be using the WS200S to do any more sound seeing tours. You know, I kept thinking, why is it that the ones I did on the iRiver sound so much brighter? Hey there. That's why. I didn't realize at the time that the ones on the WS were sounding okay too. I mean, the Olympus DS2 were sounding good too. Until today. So, be warned. I mean, it may be good enough for you. I'm not happy with it. You know, I wasn't happy when you upgraded the firmware on the iRiver and lost, good boy, and lost, we actually went from 128 kbps capabilities to a maximum of 96. I couldn't tell as great a difference, but when you go down to 64, that must be some kind of line you're crossing there. Well, the frequency response, you can look at the specs on the Olympus page and see that the frequency response, I believe, only went up to 15,000 on the WS series, whereas it goes up to 17 on the DS2. Now, the question is, are there any recorders out there that are dedicated recording machines? I noticed Sanyo makes some, Panasonic, Philips, Sony. Of course, Olympus. Are there any of these that will give us a good memory, a gigabyte? I'd even like to have some removable memory that we can get a good high quality recording from, that you can actually record for more than an hour or two. And so far, Yai River, I believe they say you can get 34 hours of recording on that gigabyte. And, well, I mentioned to you we left one on at annual meeting and got, I believe it was 14 or 16 hours before the battery went out. That I like. You know, I wouldn't even ask for more than that, for at least for what I'm trying to do. Yeah. See, the bad thing too on the WS is that you're only getting this 64 kbps and you're still having to decode it and then re-encode it into MP3, so you lose even more quality. Oh, somebody's calling me. What's up, boo? I'm walking home.
Oh, I'm sorry to bug you.
No problem. What you cooking?
Like spaghetti. Like
what about some tacos?
No.
I was thinking to see if you wanted to go to that new Mexican place.
I'm not really hungry. I was just gonna cook for you tomorrow,
at least. Oh, okay.
But we can go to the new Mexican place.
Well, all right. I won't eat before you get home. We'll decide something.
Okay.
All right.
She's going to.
Okay, beautiful. Gorgeous day for the park, isn't it?
I know, it's probably going to be one of the few last, but I'm going to get the paper.
Yeah, she playing on the swings and stuff?
Yeah, she's over there playing.
What park are you at? Oh, okay. All right, bye boo. Well, I apologize for the interruption on the phone, and I'll bet that conversation came out right on the podcast. I mean, nothing to hide, though, because I'm actually wearing these microphones correctly, right in my ears. But as I was saying, you know, you still... Once you've recorded this on the WS series, you still have to pull it into, you still have to decode it into native wave format and then re-encode into MP3. So you're losing even a little more quality at that point. And like I say, you know, I was just noticing that as I went by, or cars went by me, or I go by a noise source, it just wasn't sounding like it used to. I mean, I had done some test recordings in the beginning with the iRiver, and, you know, I could see myself there. I could feel the echoes off the walls and hear the noises there in APH. So, that's what was going on all this time. What a travesty. Man, what are they thinking over there at Olympus? I mean, it looks like with a gigabyte of memory they could afford to let you have that higher quality. You know, at least when we're recording like we are right now, it 128. I usually encode at 96 kbps anyways when I frame down the MP3, so I don't know that we were really losing that much with the WMA conversion process. And, you know, let's be truthful, the one advantage is, at least, you know, while you've got it in... Yeah, it's gorgeous. While you've got it in wave format, at least you can edit it or add to it or do whatever you need to. Which reminds me, I've got a funny story to tell you about some, you can hear that echo on the right there next to the wall. A funny story to tell you today. Happened today about the recording studio. So I might just add that to the end of this. Let's go inside here, little buddy. Good boy.
Hey guys.
What's up?
How are you?
Great.
Need some help?
Yes, sir. I am looking for a windscreen for microphone.
Okay, what kind of mic? Just a regular handheld mic? Or?
I've got one of them. I lost one. And okay. Maybe you can match it up.
All right, let's see what you got there.
It's pretty little.
Little bitty thing.
Yeah.
What is that for? Like a.
It's these binaural earphone mics.
I don't have anything that's going to be like this.
Okay.
I don't even have anything close.
Okay.
I'm sorry about that. Let me give you this one back. There
All
you
right.
Go.
All right. Thanks.
Sorry about that.
Okay.
Appreciate you coming by and checking.
All right. I thought for sure y'all would have it.
No, not bad.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too. Good doggy. All right. Anyway, what happened was we had sent a script down to the studio that, we have Lou Harpenow recording the sounds for a lot of the software that we're doing. It's got human narration in it, and one of these programs we're working on right now is called Toodle Tiles. I did a demo for you guys, and I think several of you from Blind Cool Tech actually downloaded Toodle Tiles and joined the beta list, and really appreciate that. Roger and Mario and I were just talking the other day. You guys have been giving us some fantastic feedback. And I hope we're responding quickly enough for you. In fact, I just put a notice out on the list today that I'm going here about 2 weeks ago. I'm getting away from the story a little bit. Let me finish this. A couple of weeks ago, I went and talked to our resident model maker and asked him if he could produce a 3D representation of the tile set layout for Toodle Tiles that we could include with the package when we sell it. And of course, you have to realize, good boy, this is a busy crossing. Stay right. There you go. That guy's way out across. There you go. I should have went behind him, I guess. Wanted to include a thermoform sheet that we would include with the CD. Now, of course, this program will be available as an electronic download as well, and you can't electronically download this 3D representation yet, so you may not need it. Anyway, I mean, I lived without it, but I was really glad to get it at the same time. I didn't realize some of the, I think the thing that surprised me was what tiles were on the first layer that, were out past the second tier. In other words, what was around the second tier. And I honestly didn't realize that the second tier went all the way up to the second row and all the way down to the seventh. But anyway, we wanted to include some more information at the end of the game in response to you guys' excellent feedback. So we sent a little more down to the studio to have it recorded, and they sent a WAV file back today, and I'll play that for you. It's pretty funny. That Lou is a character. All right, so we're heading up the hill in front of our house now. About to take a left to go up the steps. First set of steps anyway. So we'll sign off. Tell you this has been 185 of Blind Cool Tech on October 19th. Our comment line is at 206-984-9203. Our email is blindcooltech@gmail.com. And ooh, it's nice and cool in here. Our web address is, hey Fredsters, what's up big dude? You a good dog, huh Fredsters? Jakey's a good boy too. Go flop, Jake. Our web address is blindcooltech.com. Mary says she likes to hear Jake flop, so I'll give you some of that, Mary. Let's just sit on the couch and let Jake flop around for a minute. There you go. Yep. Why he does that, I know not. He just ran to the couch, threw himself against the side of it, and hit the floor. Now he's on his back. Jake, you're a goofy. You're goofy. Why are you so goofy? Huh? Jake. You guys need out? All right, I'm going to sign off, and you guys have a good one. I'll see you next time. They might grab me a Coke or a beer or something. Dr. Pepper, maybe? Did you know they had 14-ounce Cokes now? Or Pepsi, maybe this is. Kind of weird looking. No more DPs. Man, it is warm out. All right, I'm going to sign off and I'll see if I can play this clip for you. Y'all have a good one. Well, you know what? I think they're tearing down that carport behind the neighbor's house there. When I bought this house, there was an agreement where they had the people that owned this house had agreed to let them extend that carport 3 feet onto our property. And the lady next door was asking if that was partially ours. So I'm glad it's not now. All right, y'all have a good one. And here's that clip from Lou.
Hi, Larry. Is this the Larry Scootshan we hear about on NPR? Here are your announcements. You helped tidy up Emuville for the new mayor. Thank you for playing. Try again. Or, you helped tidy up Emuville for the new mayor. Thank you for playing. Try again. Rudy wants the first line also. These are the few announcements we would like.
So, as you can see, there's a little bit of humor coming from the studio there.
Here's what Lou's referring to from NPR.
Hundreds of people in downtown Louisville are learning about the newest innovations from the American Printing House for the Blind. As WFBL Stephanie Sanders reports, it's part of APH's annual meeting.
APH's federal funding is guided by trustees who are located all over the country. Once a year, they gather to see progress from the past year and plan for the future. This year, the trustees and teachers for the visually impaired are learning about APH's newest inventions, including computer video games for blind children. Research scientist Larry Skuchkan demonstrates how one game of Mahjong works.
So now as I move from tile to tile.
Winter flower, level 3, I, 4. Conch shell, level 3, I.
So it's telling me what the pattern is on the tile, and it's telling me its row and column and what tier it's on.
Seminars are offered on each of the new inventions. The meeting lasts through Saturday. For WFPL, I'm Stephanie Sanders.
And then there was also this one.
The American Printing House for the Blind is showcasing new innovations at its annual meeting of trustees in Louisville. APH research scientist Larry Skuchkan says one new invention is similar to an iPod.
But it also has a speech synthesizer built into it, so you can actually send text files or Word files and web pages and whatever and have it read them to you without actually having to have them been recorded before.
The American Printing House for the Blind annual meeting started today. It ends on Saturday.
All right, this really is the end of this issue of Blind Cool Tech. Y'all have a great one, and we'll see you next time.